Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. Father, we ask that you would truly have free course in each one of our hearts, that you would cause your servants to yield to you, that we would hear your implanted word that's been prepared for us, and that it would have power in our lives, Father, that we would yield to your word, and that we would do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us, Father, for our sinful nature. We know, Father, that Satan is trying to destroy your people at every turn. And we ask, Father, that you would strengthen us, that you would humble us and cause us, Father, in our weakness to have the strength of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and his shed blood, cleansing our lives, strengthening each and every one of us, Father, so that we would grow into the overcomers, Israel, that you want us to be. So help us, Father, to be faithful in all things. Help us to give glory to your holy name. And, Father, we know that we're soon coming to the end of this age. And we ask, Father, as you're preparing a people for this time, that you would touch the hearts of each and every one of your elect, and that you would cause us, Father, to realize that it's only through you that we have salvation. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we humbly ask that you bless this ministry, bless all those that have a petition before you on the prayer list, Father, and that you would hear and answer prayer, because we know that you can do all things. And salvation only comes through your name, the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. So thank you, Father, for bringing us to this place and this time in our lives, that we would be able to gain this knowledge and to go forth as salt in this world and season the world, Father, because soon Yahshua is going to return, and he's looking for the elect, a group of people who have overcome this world. In the name of Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Almighty Yahweh has allowed the enemies of Israel to have the victory over them when they were not faithful. Is the enemy having the victory in your life? Turn with me to Yahshua chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 2. That's Yahshua chapter 7. For those of you that have a King James, it's called Yahshua. Says, and Yahshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the land. And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Yahshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and strike Ai. Do not make all the people to toil there, for they are but few. So there went up there of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed of them about 36 men, and they chased them from before the gate even to Sebarim, and struck them down at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And as I said in the introduction, Almighty Yahweh has allowed the enemies of Israel to have the victory over them when they were not faithful. Is Yahweh correcting you? Are you heeding the correction that is being presented in the Word? We know that Israel was struck down there because they had sinned against Yahweh. So as we look at our lives, the question is, are we going to be struck down before Yahweh because of the sin that is in our lives? Or are we completely turning ourselves over to Yahshua the Messiah? Have we given our lives over to our Savior? In Acts chapter 7, verse 44, turn with me there, Acts 7, 44. Here we're speaking of the Israel in the wilderness. It says, our fathers had the tabernacle of the testimony in the wilderness, even as he appointed, who spoke to Moses that he should make it according to the figure that he had seen, which also our fathers in their turn brought in with Yahshua when they entered on the possession of the nations that Elohim thrust out before the face of our fathers to the days of David, who found favor in the sight of Elohim and asked to find a habitation for the Elohim of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High dwells not in houses made with hands, as says the prophet. The heaven is my throne, and the earth the footstool of my feet. What manner of house will you build me, says Yahweh? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed them that showed before of the coming of the righteous one, of whom you have now become betrayers and murderers. You who received the law as it was ordained by angels and kept it not. See, we don't want to be like Israel of old. We want to accept the word of Yahweh. We want to allow it to live within us, that we would have the victory over this world and Satan the devil. When Yahweh corrects us, we need to yield to that correction and accept it. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. In verse 1, it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years of which the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah the prophet, for the accomplishing of the desolations of Jerusalem, even 70 years. And I set my face to Yahweh Elohim to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to Yahweh, my Elohim, and made confession and said, O Sovereign Yahweh, O Sovereign, the great and dreadful El, who keeps covenant and loving kindness with them that love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and have dealt perversely and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even turning aside from your precepts and from your ordinances. Neither have we listened to your servants, the prophets, that spoke in your name, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. So this went out to all the people of the land. See? But very few listened and heeded. That's why Israel went into captivity for these 70 years. In verse 7 it says, O Yahweh, righteousness belongs to you, but to us confusion of face as at this day. To the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off. through all the countries where you have driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against you, O Yahweh, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings and to our princes and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To Yahweh, our Elohim, belongs mercies and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of Yahweh, our Elohim, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel have transgressed your law, even turning aside that they should not obey your voice. Therefore has the curse been poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of Elohim, for we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses. All this evil has come upon us, yet have we not entreated the favor of Yahweh, our Elohim. How do we entreat the favor of Yahweh, our Elohim? I've entitled this message, Entreating the Favor of Yahweh. Entreating the favor of Yahweh. That we should turn from our iniquities and have discernment in your truth. Therefore has Yahweh watched over the evil and brought it upon us. As I said in the opening, Almighty Yahweh allowed the enemies of Israel to have victory over them when they were not faithful. And Daniel brings this out in his prayer. Yahweh, our Elohim, is righteous in all his works which he does, and we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Yahweh, our Elohim, that have brought your people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and had gotten you for yourself renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Yahweh, according to all your righteousness, let your anger and your wrath, I pray you, be turned away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sin and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all that are all around us. And today that is very true, brethren. You think about it. All the enemies of Israel are surrounding it right now, even today. This is true. It says, Now therefore, O our Elohim, listen to the prayer of your servant. And this is Daniel asking Yahweh to hear his prayer and to his supplication, and cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary that is desolate for Yahweh's sake. We know today that there is no temple in Jerusalem. There is no temple. Okay? Keep this in mind, brethren, because the temple of Yahweh is his people. And it's going to be rebuilt, remember, before Yahshua returns. There's going to be a physical temple as well. But the temple of Yahweh is his people. And what we're trying to do is entreat Yahweh. We're asking Yahweh, through our supplication and prayers, that he would restore Jerusalem. He would restore the temple. He would restore his people in these last days. Satan is trying to destroy all of this in every one of our lives. Think about it. When these problems and the changes in your life and they're coming upon you and these things are getting difficult, you know, things that were easy before, they're becoming difficult. Think about your life and the struggles and do what Daniel has done and entreat Yahweh and falling on your knees and praying. Oh, my Elohim, incline your ear in verse 18 and hear. Open your eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by your name. And Jerusalem is called by the name of Yahweh. It's Yahweh's city. And your people are called by your name. And we are called by the name of Yahweh. Think about it. This is important. Turn to Job chapter 37. Job 37. I'm going to start in verse 7. Job 37:7. It says, He seals up the hand of every man, that all men whom he has made may know it. Then the beasts go into coverts and remain in their den. Out of the chamber of the south comes the storm and cold out of the north. By the breath of El, ice is given. And the expanse of the waters is straightened. He also fills the thick clouds with moisture. He spreads abroad the cloud of his lightning, and it is turned all around by his guidance, that they may do whatever he commands them. And this is the lightning. This is the catastrophic things that are going to come upon the earth. That they may do whatever he commands them upon the face of the habitable world, whether it be for correction or for his land or for loving kindness, that he causes it to come. So what Job is telling us is that Yahweh is going to use whatever force he commands, whether it's lightning, rain, ice, freezing, whatever he uses, it's for our correction. See? Drop back to verse 1 in the same passage. It says, Also, at this my heart trembles and is moved out of its place. Hear, O hear, the noise of his voice and the sound that goes out of his mouth. He sends forth under the whole heaven and his lightning to the ends of the earth. He thunders with the voice of his majesty. And he restrains not the lightnings when his voice is heard. El thunders marvelously with his voice. Great things he does, which we cannot comprehend. And truly, we cannot comprehend all of the wonderful things that Yahweh does. For he says to the snow, fall on the earth. Likewise to the shower of rain and to the showers of his mighty rain, He seals up the hand of every man, that all men whom he has made may know it. So what Job is telling us is that this is all from Yahweh. This is not something that just happens. Everything that happens, happens for a reason. Yahweh has placed these things in our lives for a purpose. Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25, we're going to start in verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the same was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, From the 13th year of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, these 23 years the word of Yahweh has come to me, and I have spoken to you rising up early and speaking, but you have not listened. So Jeremiah was a prophet, okay, even as a young man. And he's saying, For 23 years the word of Yahweh has come to me, and I have spoken to you, rising up early and speaking, but you have not listened. And Yahweh has sent to you all his servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but you have not listened, nor inclined your ear to hear. And that's something that we cannot do, brethren. We have to hear the word of Yahweh and react to it. And how do we react to it? by falling on our knees and asking Yahweh's forgiveness for the sins that we've committed. Too many of us, okay, even after we've been forgiven of our sins, go back to those same sins or sin some more. Verse 5, it says, saying, return you now, every one, from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that Yahweh has given to you and to your fathers from of old, even forevermore. And go not after other Elohim to serve them and to worship them and provoke me not to anger with the work of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yahweh is telling them what to do. Yet you have not listened to me, says Yahweh, that you may provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own hurt. And like I said, these idols don't have to be a statue. You know, even the sign of the cross is an idol. It's a idol, okay? It could be your vehicle. It could be your home. It could be the money in your bank account. And too many people don't understand what idolatry is. Yet, it's what is causing so many people hurt these days because they don't recognize who Yahweh is. See, Yahweh is the living El. He's the true mighty one, the mighty one of Israel. Israel sat alone, this little nation, with the temple up on the hill. And when people walk by on Israel, Route 1, or whatever it was, that went from Egypt right by Jerusalem all the way up into Syria. Okay? They would see that gleaming temple up on the hill, and they would ask the question, what is that? And the answer would be, that's the temple of Yahweh, the living El, the mighty one of Israel. And people would want to know about this mighty one. So therefore, sometimes they would inquire, and they would go up, because you had to go up to Jerusalem. It was built on a mountain. So whichever direction you went up, you had to go up. See? You went up to worship Yahweh. Verse 8. Therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, because you have not heard my word, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says Yahweh, and I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants of it. And against all these nations all around, I will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take them. I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So he put a finite time on it. He put a specific time on the captivity. But see, he called Nebuchadnezzar his servant because he controls all the nations. And as I started this message, Almighty Yahweh allowed the enemies of Israel to have victory over them when they were not faithful. So he used Nebuchadnezzar just like he used Assyria and the Assyrians. See? The Assyrians were the rod of his anger. Nebuchadnezzar was his servant. You think about it. Even Cyrus was called his anointed, who was the king of Persia. Yahweh is the mighty one over the whole earth, brother. We have to yield to Almighty Yahweh. Jeremiah chapter 29, we'll turn over there. Verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the residue of the elders of the captivity, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king, and the queen mother, and the eunuchs, and all the princes, and the princes of Judah, and Jerusalem, and the craftsmen, and the smiths, had departed from Jerusalem. This is after the first captivity, after Nebuchadnezzar had taken the first group by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Jemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, "In this manner says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, to all the captivity whom I have caused to be carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take wives and procreate sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply there." He's talking about in the captivity. "And be not diminished." In other words, multiply. "And seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to Yahweh for it. For in the peace of it shall you have peace." In other words, I'm sending you there. You have to accept it. Pray for the peace of that place, that city. And in that you'll have peace. "For thus says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, let not your prophets that are in the middle of you and your diviners deceive you, neither listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed." And that's what's happening too much today. This person got up, "I have a dream." You know, and it's contrary to what the word of Yahweh says. Yet people will flock to them because they got a dream. They feel they have some inside knowledge from Almighty Yahweh. Verse 9, "For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says Yahweh. For thus says Yahweh, after 70 years are accomplished for Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end." And this is what Yahweh wants for his people. He wants us to have peace in our latter end. He knows what we have to go through to get there, because he's the one that's bringing it upon us, just like he did upon Judah. And that's why Daniel prayed the prayer. He prayed. "And you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." This is why we have to entreat Almighty Yahweh. We have to fall on our knees and pray to him. "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." And that's what we have to do, brethren. Entreat the name of Yahweh and pray to him. And in verse 14 it says, "And I will be found of you, says Yahweh, and I will turn again your captivity and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says Yahweh, and I will bring you again to the place where I caused you to be carried away captive, which is back to Jerusalem, which is back to the holy city." So this is what we have to do, brethren. We need to do it now. We need to entreat the favor of Yahweh by praying to him and not listening to all of what's being said around us. Turn to Zephaniah chapter 2. Zephaniah chapter 2. Zephaniah deals with the day of Yahweh, which is soon coming upon the earth. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Gather yourselves together, even gather together, O nation that has no shame. Before the decree brings forth, before the day passes as the chaff, before the fierce anger of Yahweh comes upon you, before the day of Yahweh's anger comes upon you, Seek Yahweh, all you meek of the earth that have kept his ordinances. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be that you will be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger. And truly, even though Daniel went into captivity, as a righteous man, he still had to go. He was one of the young princes. Jeremiah didn't go. He was told he had to stay. You know, they wanted him to go down to Egypt to avoid the captivity. And he told them not to go to Egypt either. See, he was a prophet of Yahweh. It says there he prophesied for 23 years to Jerusalem. And in Zephaniah chapter 1 here, verses 2, it says, I will utterly consume all things from off the face of the ground, says Yahweh. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the face of the ground, says Yahweh. And this is coming soon upon this earth, brethren. And I will stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. And the name of the Camerine with the priest. That's the black robe priest. And them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops. And them that worship and swear to Yahweh and swear by Malcolm, which is another name for Moloch. And them that turn back from following Yahweh. Those that have backslidden. And those that have not sought Yahweh. So there's three different groups that he's dealing with here. See? And we don't want to be a part of either one of those groups. We want to be faithful in everything that we do. And this is why we come to Yahweh and pray. And this is why we have to do it now. Turn to Acts chapter 10. As we are entreating the favor of Almighty Yahweh and falling before Him, Acts chapter 10, verse 17. Now, this is something that a lot of Christians get twisted, but this is about Peter and his dream. Verse 17, it says, Now, while Peter was much perplexed in himself what the vision which he had seen might mean, behold, the men that were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men seek you, but arise and go down and go with them, nothing doubting. See? Because the Jews had no dealing with Gentiles. So the Spirit had to tell Peter, Don't doubt, don't worry about it, just go with them. Verse 21, And Peter went down to the men and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause of your coming? And they said, Cornelius, who is a centurion. Cornelius, who is a Gentile. The centurion was a Roman soldier. A righteous man and one that fears Elohim and well reported of by all the nation of the Jews. Was warned of Elohim by a holy angel to send for you into his house and to hear words from you. So he called them in and lodged them. And on the next day he arose and went forth with them, and certain of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the next day, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them, having called together his kinsmen and his near friends. See, this is happening family by family. See? And Cornelius was a righteous man, and he was witnessing, obviously, to his family about Yahweh. He had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. And when it came to pass that Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with them, he went in and finds many come together. It was a group of them. And he said to them, You yourselves know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to join himself or come to one of another nation. And yet to me, as Yahweh showed, that I should not call any man common or unclean. So this is what the dream was about, of the unclean, when Peter was told to kill and eat. Therefore also I came without gainsaying. When I was sent for, I asked therefore with what intent you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, until this hour, I was keeping the ninth hour of prayer in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright apparel and says, Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of Yahweh. Send therefore to Joppa and call to you Simon, who is surnamed Peter. He lodges in the house of Simon a tanner by the seaside. Immediately, therefore, I sent to you, and you have well done that you have come. Now, therefore, we are all here present in the sight of Yahweh to hear all things that have been commanded you of the Master. And Peter opened his mouth and said, he started to teach. See, the angel could have manifested himself to more than Cornelius. But Cornelius, being a faithful man, had that angel manifest himself to him. Okay? He was faithful. He believed. No problem. He entreated Yahweh. He was praying to Yahweh. And Yahweh answered him with sending him an angel and sending him another Melech, another angel, which is a teacher, a leader, Peter, who came. And started in verse 34, he says, of a truth I perceive that Yahweh is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. The word which he sent to the children of Israel, preaching good tidings of peace by Yahshua the Messiah, he is sovereign of all. That saying you yourselves know, which was published throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, even Yahshua of Nazareth, how Yahweh anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for Yahweh was with him. And I'm telling you today, brethren, Yahweh is with us as well. We have to just live it. We have to preach it and show it in our lives and entreat the favor of Yahweh by constantly praying, showing Yahweh that we do believe him and that we are faithful in keeping his covenant law. In verse 39 it says, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom also they killed, hanging him on a tree. Him Yahweh raised up the third day and gave him to be made manifest, not to all the people, but to witnesses that were chosen before Yahweh, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he charged us to preach to the people and to testify that this is he who is ordained of Yahweh to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him bear all the prophets witness, that through his name, everyone that believes on him shall receive remission of sin. And it's everyone that believes on the name of Yahshua. To all who believe on Yahshua shall receive the remission of sins. Turn back to Daniel chapter 9. See, Daniel and Cornelius had something in common, right? An angel came to both of them, Daniel of the Jews and Cornelius, who was a Gentile. In verse 20 of Daniel 9, it says, and while I was speaking and praying, he was entreating the favor of Yahweh by praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before Yahweh, my Elohim, for the holy mountain of my Elohim. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, and see, even Cornelius said the man. See, they looked like a man, but it was an angel. the man Gabriel, the giver of El. That's what Gabriel means, a mighty man of El, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. He was at the evening hour of prayer. And he instructed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you wisdom and understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the commandment went forth, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. And for us, brethren, we have to do the same. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, and we'll start in verse 18. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten your son, seeing there is hope, and set not your heart on his destruction. That means we have to correct our children, because we don't want to see them destroyed. A man of great wrath shall bear the penalty, for if you deliver him, you must do it yet again. Because he's of great wrath. So this is going to happen over and over. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of Yahweh, that shall stand. That which makes a man to be desired is his kindness. A poor man is better than a liar. The fear of Yahweh tends to life, and he that has it shall remain satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. And that's what we want, brethren. We don't want to be visited with evil. See, even though Daniel went into the captivity with the rest of Israel, he wasn't a sinful individual. He was a repentant individual. Daniel was beloved, but he still went into that captivity. See? And we know the story of Daniel. You read it often about what he went through for Yahweh and for his faith. Turn over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. This is a psalm of David. In verse 1 it says, Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. He forgives all of our sins, brother, through Yahshua the Messiah, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your desire with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Yahweh executes righteous acts and judgments for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his doings to the children of Israel. Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities. Because if he did, who could stand? Because we're all sinners, remember that. Verse 11, For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards them that fear him. And that's what we want to do, brethren. We want to fear Yahweh. We want to entreat him in prayer. We want to come before him and ask for forgiveness. Just the same thing Daniel did. For For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed us transgressions from us. Yahweh's love is so deep and so great, it's deeper than the greatest ocean or sea. Like as a father pities his children, so Yahweh pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as the grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For as the wind passes over it, it is gone, and the place of it shall know it no more. But the loving kindness of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. That's why our love for Almighty Yahweh is so great. And his righteousness to children's children. And this is why we have to tell our children of the righteousness and the greatness of Almighty Yahweh. And that's why on the night to be much observed, we tell our children, this night means this so much because of what Yahweh did in bringing us out of sin, out of Egypt. It says, but the loving kindness of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children, to our grandchildren, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his precepts to do them. Yahweh has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless Yahweh, you his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, listening to the voice of his word. Bless Yahweh, all you his hosts, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless Yahweh, all you his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless Yahweh, O my soul. It's nothing you can do, brethren. Nothing you can do. But in everything that we do, we have to bless Yahweh and pray and give glory to his holy name. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 27. And you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. And you shall say to them, this is the nation that has not listened to the voice of Yahweh their Elohim, nor received instruction. Truth has perished and is cut off from their mouth. And Jeremiah did go forth and try to preach and teach and witness these things to his people. But they would not hear. They would not listen. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, starting verse 12. It says, a glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Yahweh, the hope of Israel, all that forsake you shall be put to shame. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Yahweh, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Yahweh, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. And I'm telling you, we got to give it to him. We have to praise him, because this is something that we are created for, the praises of Almighty Yahweh. Behold, in verse 15, they say to me, where is the word of Yahweh? We know the word of Yahweh is Yahshua the Messiah. Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a shepherd after you, neither have I desired that woeful day. You know that which came out of my lips was before your face. Be not a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of evil. And Yahweh is our refuge, brethren. Let them be put to shame that persecute me. But do not let me be put to shame. Let them be dismayed, but do not let me be dismayed. Being upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. He's talking about his own people. In this manner, in verse 19, he says, Yahweh to me, go and stand in the gate of the children of my people, of the people, that by which the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, hear the word of Yahweh. And say to them, hear the word of Yahweh, you kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. In this manner, says Yahweh, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day. Neither do you any work, but allow the Sabbath day. But hallow the Sabbath day. That means set it apart. Make it holy. As I commanded your fathers, but they listened not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they may not hear, and might not receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently listen to me, says Yahweh, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but to hallow the Sabbath day. But to do no work in it, then shall there enter in by these gates of the city, kings and princesses sitting upon the throne of David, riding in the chariot and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places all around Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the lowland and from the hill country, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meal offerings and frankincense, and bringing sacrifices of thanksgiving to the house of Yahweh. But if you will not listen to me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear burden, and to enter into the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates of it, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. And it shall not be quenched. And that happened, brethren. That happened because they would not heed. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know what? That says not to bring a burden into Jerusalem. So that means we don't have to keep the Sabbath outside Jerusalem. But you know what? As we studied the covenant, as it was given, it's not just for the Holy Land. This is for the whole earth. We're going to be keeping the commandments throughout the whole earth. And the Sabbath day is the fourth commandment. And it's for everyone. It's not just for Israel. It's for everyone. Now, when you think about this, and you think about the blessings in your life and the things, the curses, that have come upon you. And they've come upon you because you refuse to keep the covenant. You refuse to do what Yahweh has commanded you to do. I'm telling you today to fall on your knees and pray, as Daniel did, as Cornelius did, as every righteous man has done in the past, because they want Yahweh to forgive them for their sins. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 to the end of the chapter. It says, yes, and all that would live holy in the Messiah Yahshua shall suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors shall become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But remain in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. You have to understand where your teaching is coming from as well. There are a lot of Christian pastors out there that teach part of the truth, but they're not teaching the whole truth. They're not teaching the feast days. They're not teaching the clean food laws. They're not teaching that you keep all of the Sabbaths, the weekly Sabbath and the annual holy day. Verse 15, and that from a babe you have known the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith, which is in the Messiah Yahshua. Every scripture, Yahweh breathed, is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be complete, furnished completely to every good work. And this is what we want, brethren. We want to be corrected. We want to be taught of Yahweh. Almighty Yahweh allowed the enemies of Israel to have the victory over them when they were not faithful. Is the enemy having the victory in your life? We know that Almighty Yahweh is blessing his people. He's raising an elect race, a royal priesthood, see, a special group of people who are going to be first fruits when Yahshua returns. Yes, there's going to be a special group of people who are following him, keeping each and every one of the commandments, not justifying what they've been taught or raised to believe. I know I witnessed to one of my cousins, me and Tyrone, many, many years ago, and he said that Jesus is all right with me. He's been, leading me and my family for all these years, and, he's been through a lot. And I'm hoping before he leaves this earth, he realizes that it's Yahshua, not Jesus. So Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you entreat him in your by falling on your knees and praying and giving glory to his holy name. Because it's only through the name of Yahshua the Messiah that we have an opportunity at salvation. And may Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you pray to Almighty Yahweh and entreat him. So at this time, I'd like to close with a word of prayer if you all rise at this time. Father Yahweh, we come before you thanking and praising your name. We know, Father, that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns. And we ask, Father, that we would be faithful as Daniel was faithful, as Jeremiah was faithful, as Cornelius was faithful. And we know, Father, that it's only through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and his shed blood that we have this opportunity to be in your kingdom. Open our hearts and minds, Father, and give us and implant this word deeply within and help us to overcome this world, because we know truly, Father, it's only through you that we have salvation. So strengthen each and every one of us as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Help us, Father, as we get together and call together our families and our friends, just as Cornelius did, to share with them the hope that is within us and the blessings from on high that Yahshua the Messiah has manifested in our hearts. So again, we thank you, Father, and we ask that you would faithfully bless us. And we thank you, Father, and we ask that this would truly be your purpose in our lives, that each one of us would give glory to you in prayer and in praise. And we thank you again in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We ask all these favors and blessings. And again, bless each and every one that has a petition before you on this prayer list, because we know that you can do all things, and you will heal, and you will raise from the dead, and you will cast out demons in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. We ask this. Hallelujah. our closing song. Turn in your songbooks to page number 63. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. It's page number 63.